For this, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, all we who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. For we were buried with him by means of baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ has arisen from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be so in the likeness of his resurrection also. For we know that our old self has been crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be destroyed, that we may no longer be slaves to sin. For he who is dead is acquitted of sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live together with Christ. For we know that Christ, having risen from the dead, dies now no more. Death shall no longer have dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives unto God. Thus do you consider yourselves also as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Mark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when there was a great crowd with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, He called his disciples together and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their homes fasting, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from a distance. And his disciples answered him, how will anyone be able to satisfy these with bread here in a desert? He asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he bade the crowd recline on the ground. Then taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and ordered them to be distributed. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up what was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he dismissed them. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I wish only to bring to your attention also this morning that today is the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Please pray to the Blessed Mother in a very special way this morning. I urge you and encourage you to please, please not just read over the bulletin, but to read it, to study it, and to read over it more than once, to study it and to grasp what it has to say. Aside from that, I wish to get to the point clearly this morning and quickly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. They that are ignorant shall die in the want of understanding. This quotation comes from the book of Proverbs. My beloved people, this morning, I feel it important and necessary that we should go into various and sundry vicissitudes and problems and gyrations that have taken place in our religion over the past weeks or months or whatever, but especially during this past week. I do not wish to get into the politics of things, because you know how we feel about that and how I direct about that. We do not speak politics. But I do have to at least underline the result, or the consequences rather, of the events that took place during the past week in the well-known Society of St. Pius X. We're not here to judge, we're not here to make pronouncement or whatever, but we are very, very, very seriously concerned in that this will be no doubt a result, it will no doubt result into further fragmentation that we can ill afford. Therefore, not so much examining somebody else's conscience, but that we examine our own conscience and ask ourselves clearly and without any hesitation, our purpose. What is our fundamental purpose? Why do we come here to this particular place in space and time today? Do we come here because we prefer this to that? Or do we come here as a result of the prompting of faith, which is what we have to protect above and beyond anything else that we can give consideration to? So therefore, we need to examine and re-examine the quality of our faith. Why? Just precisely why do we come here? It is not good enough, my beloved people, it is not good enough for the salvation of our souls, but for me and what I'm doing, or what we're doing here as monks and nuns, it is not enough for the salvation of our immortal souls simply to be enamored of this particular kind of liturgy over another kind of liturgy. It is not enough, actually speaking, for us to say we attend the true Mass. It sounds good and it's very important, but it's not enough. We have to examine the reason why. And we have to be very, very careful about the reason why we attend the true Mass. We are today not only being attacked from the left, because we have been attacked from the left for a long, long time, but our attack also comes to us from the right. And therefore, we do not really know sometimes which is the correct path to follow, and confusion becomes worse confounded. And we have people, unqualified people, definitely unqualified people, people without instruction, people who have never ever even set foot inside of a theology class in life, who stand up and preach, who stand up and teach, and who spread about interpretations of our holy religion which are simply not correct. And they tell us and they teach us, and we learn perhaps very quickly and very easily that it is in the externals that we do, that we gather up like a bouquet of flowers, our nine Fridays, our holy Saturdays, the first Saturdays, our acts of mortification, our rosaries, our litanies, our whatever. My beloved people, let us not be so foolish as to think that these all accumulated together are some kind of passport to heaven. We have said this before. Sometimes I think we are forgetful of that, and we seem cushy and cozy then we have made the nine Fridays, we say the rosary, we say this prayer, we had a friend recently who attended and visited us. And I don't say this in derision, I say this in concern. And this friend literally had a satchel. Almost travel size satchel that was completely packed with prayer books and prayer pamphlets and devotions and this, that, and the other. And we come to church, he just simply went through all of these in system. It isn't in that satchel. Our religion is not in that satchel. Our religion is inside of us, in the interior life. And the sooner we come to grips with that, the sooner we will find that we are safe. It is not so much in being prayerful. We're not looking for prayerful people. We're not looking for a prayerful man. We're looking for a man of prayer. We're not looking for virtuous people. We're looking for people of virtue. In present times, because of whatever, as I mentioned a moment ago, there are those who stand up to teach, who have no business standing up to teach. And they make life so difficult for us all. And in their interpretation, private interpretation, preferential thoughts, patterns of theirs, they are so quick and so easy to condemn anybody who stands up in contradiction. And they even place people in hell because they contradict. They place people in hell. And in some cases, they place practically everybody in hell. They attack the priesthood. They attack everything that moves. They are too quick to place in hell. My beloved people, I'm looking at us straight in the eyes. I are not the ones to place anybody in hell. And my beloved people, let us not put qualifications for the candidates of hell. If we put qualification as outlined by some of these people that stand up to teach, then who is it in this room today that must also apply these same qualifications and place their own mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters in hell? In today's bulletin, there is a dreadful statement. It's a warning that comes from our blessed Lord himself. The measure with which you measure shall be used to measure you. We have to be careful, and we have to study our holy faith as it has been handed down to us by our forefathers. And I can say that we here, I say this with conviction, that we follow here the word, we can use it in the vernacular, we follow the book. We do not interpret, we do not interpolate, we follow the word of the book. And we follow the religion, the teaching, the official, orthodox, unmolested faith that has been handed to us by our forefathers. And for us, the book is this. For the lay people, we follow here the Baltimore Catechism. Now, those of us who have any age behind us know only too well that we studied entirely. And the good sisters and the good priests, our forefathers and foremothers, they taught us scrupulously the Baltimore Catechism. That's all we knew. And our faith, as outlined in that Baltimore Catechism, was presented to us. It is only in most recent years that this catechism has been attacked. And it started probably, I would think, I'm just guessing now, probably about the mid-60s, when the so-called infamous Dutch catechism, abominable Dutch catechism, came into being. And the Baltimore Catechism was trashed as being medieval, out of time, out of touch, wrong, erroneous, and everything else. We follow the book carefully. Now, the Baltimore Catechism now is being attacked by those of our own traditional Catholicism over the past several years as being put out by undesirable people. Let me put it this way. If the Baltimore Catechism is wrong now, the Baltimore Catechism was wrong then. And if the Baltimore Catechism was right then, it is right now. And let nobody question that. Truth does not follow the progress of man. And therefore, let this be a warning that we follow the teaching. I am not at liberty, nor anyone else who stands in this spot is at liberty to take any of those truths outlined for us in that book and start tampering with them simply because they have an agenda or whatever. I don't know. And I will tell you this, that if any time you see, or hear rather, anyone standing in this spot where I am standing today, in violation of what that truth is, then I challenge, I don't challenge you, I command you to do something about it. Your faith and my faith are totally important, and the likes of me nor anybody else can stand up and tamper with it. I suggest strongly, my beloved people, I don't know exactly how to handle this suggestion at the moment, except merely point it out to you. I suggest that each family make an effort, an honest, sincere effort, to purchase a Baltimore Catechism, number 3. And that bringing that Baltimore Catechism into the house, that the family, under the leadership of the father and the mother, the children, take, say, 15 to 20 minutes of each day and study it. Talk about it, present it, and look into it. It is the faith of our children, more important, actually, than our own. You know, we have lost our ecclesiastical leadership, the validity, the trustworthiness of our ecclesiastical leadership. If now we throw aside even the textbook, the common textbook, my beloved people, what on earth do we have to look for? Can you imagine? Imagine a classroom of students. The teacher no longer shows up to teach. And the kids do not even have a textbook to work out of. What kind of chaotic condition would that be? And that is precisely, absolutely, the condition that we find ourselves in today. More so than in years past. I'm looking at notes to make sure that I do not leave anything out. I'm nervous because this is a nervous subject to talk about. What I've said, that many, unfortunately, several of our families are missing this morning for one reason or another. I know about most of them, the valid reasons. But most of what has been said this morning will appear in a bulletin, maybe next week or the week after, I'm not sure. Depends upon. It is no longer time for us to play games. It is no longer time to give in to others who play mind games with us, who tell it to us both ways. We see what has happened. We talk about it. We condemn it. And yet, instead of solving the problem, we become part of the problem. And we see our faith broken up. And it's just like taking a gorgeous piece of china, of crystal, and going outside and taking that piece of crystal and dashing it on the concrete floor into smithereens. That, my beloved people, is the condition of our faith today. You can call it negativism. You can call it anything you want to. But that is the situation. All you have to do is look about. And if you see all these people that are moving around, teaching, priests, men ordained priests overnight, unqualified teachers standing up to teach, and our people are suffering, there's no need for it. You, my precious, precious people, I beg your prayer that you yourselves will stand up under pressure and that we can stand up under pressure. The devil is at work. And when our Lord himself said, "When I come back, will I find any faith on earth. Only recently has that, the enormity of that statement, the power of that statement, struck me fearfully. What does that mean? Will I find any faith on earth? It is going, each of these things come in one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, and the flickering light of our faith is becoming dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. We ourselves, whether we like it or not, hate to admit it, are affected by the fungus that is every place today. We have to be sincere. We have to take part in this. It is the faith that we must protect. If we have no faith, if we do not believe, what good does saying a rosary have, or what good does it have? If we do not believe, what good do the Nine Fridays have? If we do not believe, what good does going to Mass have? It becomes merely something that has to be done on a Sunday morning, because that's what most people do, is go to church. Examine the reasons why every one of you are here. Examine the reason why I am here. You know, I speak not just for myself, of course not. I speak for all, you and me and all others who have suffered 50 years of unadulterated hell, like in a circle of 50 years, only to end up right where we started off from. That simply does not make sense, and you know it. We'll have to suffer. And you know, more and more do I hear priests, bush priests. You know what a bush priest is? That started off in England. When the persecutions started off in England, and the priests had to crawl around behind and hide behind bushes to get where they could get to say Mass for some poor soul who needed to hear Mass and to receive the Blessed Sacrament of our Lord. I hear that, and I keep the monks here, the priests here, constantly alerted. I am too old for this to happen to me, though it could. But these young men, they would make so much of their ordination, and it is something to make much of, to be sure. But these young men are going to have to be the miracle of God to stand up and preserve the faith for those who wish to have it preserved. And the suffering that that is in store for them, I have no notion of. Only God knows about that. These wonderful young men, these miraculous men who have been given the grace to do it. And therefore, I say to you, just as beautiful from your side of the fence, from your side of the fence, you're every bit as beautiful. And you too, and your children, are going to have to suffer for the sake of your holy faith, for the sake of your holy and our holy religion. This is where we are. And there are no ifs and ands or buts about it. This is where we are. Precious, beloved, holy, beautiful people. people of Almighty God. May God preserve you. You know, we condemn, I say this, I just have to say this because this is part of what I wanted to say to begin with, but I forgot to do it. We condemn men of power who are responsible for the physical death of millions of people by whatever means they've chose to condemn and kill and murder and do away with and annihilate millions of people. We condemn these men because what they did was wrong. What they did was ungodly. It was inhuman, unchristian. It was savage, to be sure. But we have nothing to say about those who are responsible for the millions and millions, untold millions of people whose souls have been lost because of what they taught. The salvation of souls should be our first concern. My beloved people, that's all I have to say today. Your prayers, we bless you. We want you to bless us, that together we can stand up and protect Jesus Christ. It is in your hands and ours to do so. Precious people of God.